Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Stardish Radio for the second edition of the show. If you guys missed the debacle at 8 p.m., please download it, because I'll tell you right now, it was the best thing I think that happened. Makes for a funny story. For those of you who didn't know, Jill Larson was scheduled. She forgot, but Kelly Ripa called in. Then when Kelly Ripa hung up, Jill Larson called in. So it was pretty funny. So download it. It was a great show. Good laugh. Today is February 23rd, 2010. Call-in number is 347-945-5423. Let's just get right to it and get the party started, because I got some great guests on tonight. I have two guests, but my guest tonight is a dynamite performer, as her lauded work on One Life to Live for the past two decades will amply attest, but you may not know that she has a passion that is not all related to soaps or television or acting of any kind. She's become our self-taught expert on the art of food and all the ways that our bodies accept, reject, and use it. And she has come by the show this evening with a friend and colleague who has spent several decades teaching the specifics of proper nutrition and the stunning healing powers that can be found in a sensible diet. To dig deeper into a topic that way too many Americans still refuse to take seriously. So please give the pair a warm Stardish welcome to the magnificent Laura Bonarigo and the fabulous Dr. Barry Goldstein. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much, Joanne. What a lovely welcome.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. But you know, Laura, I have to give credit to my intros all the time. Our dear friend Brandon from Brandon's Buzz. My guy with the intros, he knows how to put it all on paper.
As I've said to him many times, I just wish he would follow me around day in and day out.
I'm telling you, I wish he would do the same for me. I'm lucky that he does this for me, because, you know, otherwise I'd be like, all right, hey, Laura, how you doing?
Exactly. Hello, hi. Dr. Barry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
I'm excited to have you guys here. Let's start off, Laura, with Dr. Barry.
Yes.
Dr. Barry, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Well, I've been practicing for over 20 years, and we use real food vitamins ground up as medicine, because I think food can actually make you healthy and rebuild your body. We've been eating a lot of counterfeit food over the years, and it's created a lot of dysfunction in us. So we try to clinically deal with what systems or organs are weak, and then try to promote the body to heal itself. And this way, in turn, you get healthy from many different diseases that you have.
What type of doctor are you?
Actually, I'm a chiropractor, and I do clinical nutrition. And through different things like symptom surveys and doing what we call muscle testing, we try to analyze all your weaknesses and then figure out how to make you healthy and then give you those whole food vitamins. For instance, like people with digestive disturbances or allergies, we try to fix the gut and the small intestine by, you know, getting the acidity back to normal, lining it with maybe the demulcents and things like that to rebuild it. And these are all real food ground up, or herbs or homeopathic remedies.
Wonderful. Now, how did you and Laura come together?
Well, through a mutual friend of ours, a patient who I actually treat who has had phenomenal results with me, referred her to me so that we could meet, and then we just started interacting with each other because we were so synergistically involved with what she does and what I do.
Wonderful. Laura, why don't you tell your audience why Dr. Barry's here and what you two are trying to accomplish?
So I wanted Barry to join us this evening because I think that how he treats patients is really unique, and we wanted to talk to people more. I've been coaching families for several years on how to feed their kids well through my company, Feed Your Mouths, and what I didn't have was the medical background, as we know, and so I was looking for someone who would talk to people and be able to answer the questions I couldn't answer. So that's why I wanted him to come this evening, especially since we were opening it up to the audience and more fans were asking my opinion and my advice on how to take care of themselves. I felt I wanted to invite a professional and see how it went.
And how? Where are you guys right now? Like how? To explain the process, Laura, of what you do. You go to homes?
What I was doing with families was going into people's homes. I think we have so much information available to us. Mm-hmm. Everyone can write books, we can read newspaper articles, we can read magazine stories, we can listen to the government. But unless changes are actually happening in one's home or in their kitchen, people get stuck. You know, some people are really self-motivated. Some are really self-motivated for a few weeks. But it's difficult sometimes to keep changes going and to stay inspired and stay optimistic when healing is, if we don't have medical care like what Dr. Barry's doing, mm-hmm. it might be slower. And so how do you keep that interest and enthusiasm going? And what I was doing was literally hand-holding, taking mm-hmm. Time cleaning kitchens, cleaning cabinets, cleaning out refrigerators, taking moms grocery shopping, cooking with their kids, helping them prepare snacks with their children, teaching their children how to try different foods, how to hide like raw vegetables and blended foods like a bean dip or a hummus sandwich, or how do you take a lettuce and or kale and put it into a smoothie or into a juice that a child will drink and not see the green stuff.
Right.
So things like that.
And now, some kids are so picky that, I mean, particularly, I know mine is, my 9-year-old is, that if it doesn't look right or if it doesn't smell right, then he won't even look at it. He won't touch it. He won't try it. I mean, my kid literally made himself throw up at the thought of trying a kernel of corn.
Fabulous. I love kids like this. So for me, I like to start with younger kids, but 9-year-olds are 9-year-olds, and so you have to speak mm-hmm. to them like a 9-year-old. And you have to make a deal with them, especially a boy. And what I would suggest to moms is to give them a 2-bite rule. The 1 bite was to try it, and the 2nd bite was their yuck bite. You know, they had to do it. And then the thing is that, you know, we really are still in charge of what our children eat. We're the ones who grocery shop. We're the ones mm-hmm. who bring the food into the house.
Right.
So we're teaching them our habits and our conditioning and our addictions.
Right.
And so if we're addicted to sugar, they're going to be addicted to sugar. And so it's really, we're in charge, even with a 9-year-old. But with mm-hmm. a 9-year-old, you got to make a deal. You know, hey, look, you know, what I say to my 11-year-old is, look, you want to have pizza on the weekend? Sorry, you got to have a green juice in the morning. I got to balance you out.
Right. That's the only way. Now, Dr. Barry, how in your practice, I see that you have a lot of testimonials, and I mean, God, I wish you were in Buffalo because I know I'd go see you. With
well,
all
I do treat over the phone a little bit with patients. I actually treat a little bit over the phone, like via the internet, and like what their symptoms are. So maybe we can help you.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that because reading this stuff, I mean, you know. I'm just going to read for the audience a testimonial from your brochure, Tanya. She had back pain between her shoulder blades for many years, and she started nutrition with Dr. Goldstein and chiropractic adjustments. He was the first to tell me I had a gallbladder problem. The nutritional program he put me on helped. My back pain was gone. Nutrition is great. I feel more energized, healthy, and have regular bowel movements. Okay, so how did you tell her she had a gallbladder problem, or if you could remember that?
Well, first of all, I can remember it. She actually was a very good patient of mine. She came in with, like, right inside, you know, inside the shoulder blade, like, pain, like almost mm-hmm. like a bursitis radiating up to the shoulder. And we did an evaluation on her, and I always say when it's chiropractic, it's very obvious because they usually respond very quickly to what I do. Within a few visits, the pain starts to break up because that's just the body yelling. I mean, that's when it's just totally out of control. But we saw she wasn't getting any real results. So we tested her through, through muscle testing. It is called kinesiology, and basically you can tell that the body has shared common neurological nerve roots. And there's articles about this all throughout, like the New York Times. I have articles about this, how, like, the heart can cause left shoulder pain and tingling in the left hand and neck pain. the kidneys can refer back pain. All organs can refer pain where they're located, also can refer pain to where they share common nerve roots. Because you have to remember, the brain controls everything. And
right.
It controls it through the spinal cord. And that spinal cord is just 24 pairs of nerves. But it breaks up into millions of miles of nerves. Actually, for every pound of flesh, I believe it's 3,000 miles of nerves that are created.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
They share common nerve roots. So that's how they can refer pain to specific one areas around the organ, like a stomach can give you pain in front of it, but an organ is three-dimensional, so it can cause pain in your upper mid-back. So the same thing with her gallbladder. We tested her through, one, we did symptom surveys on her. She has a multitude of very different symptoms, from digestion to acid reflux at the time. She also had a familial history of gallbladder problems in her family. We did muscle testing. Her right arm was weak, actually what we call a muscle test for the deltoid. Mm-hmm. And then we connected into her body using kinesiology, like touched over those points, like tapped into her nervous system and felt where those weaknesses were and what those weaknesses then would create, would make those muscles strong. So in other words, like that right shoulder pain, once we touched her gallbladder, that muscle became strong again. So it's a very holistic approach.
It sounds incredible.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it just taps into what the body tells you, you know, what it's trying to talk to you about. Like, people manage with a lot of symptoms all the time. And those symptoms are tells. And
yeah, did she have to have her gallbladder out?
She ended up, actually, she listened to me for like a month or two, and then she disappeared and stopped doing anything I told her. Because, as we say, functional nutritional medicine, it takes time to restore healing to the body. So that would, usually my programs last anywhere from 3 months for like acute healing and then maybe a few more months for deeper healing. But she stopped doing everything. And a year later, she came back to me. And she had an acute case of what they call cholecystitis, which means her gallbladder was acutely inflamed. It's very, very painful. And they had to do an emergency removal of it. So, again, she was like thankful that I found it, didn't follow through. But now she's actually a patient still, because whatever they didn't fix, what they're doing is removing organs most times with surgeries. You don't really remove the actual problem. You remove the consequences of disease. So they remove the gallbladder, and that dysfunction creates again, but it backs up now into the liver. So then you get a very congested liver. So you still need to make your body healthy in total.
And I can understand this particular one. That's why I picked it, because I had my gallbladder out, and it just taking it out, it doesn't subside the issues. So I can totally understand with that. We have some questions in the chat room for Dr. Barry. They're asking, what do you think are the most foods that you can get, the best foods to get the most energy from, and what is the best thing to eat to get more fiber in your body?
Well, more fiber. I mean, we're looking for high fiber foods. The fibers we like to use are obviously psyllium husk, fennel seed, fenugreek seed. I don't know if these are things you can eat as foods. I mean, you're looking for high fiber. If you can get like real ground up wheat, which is very unusual in this day and age, because they even bleach most of the wheat that is in the stores, the grains, because it has to stay on the shelf longer. So if you can get really fresh ground grains, like the germinated portion of the wheat, that's great fiber in there. And we use nutrients like slippery elm bark, which is actually a herbal remedy, but it's very fibrous. Plants like okra, which they eat in the South. But I would say it's hard to eat it raw, which is where you get the most nutritional value, because once you heat things, you tend to denature what's in them. So those are things that are very fibrous naturally, like slippery elm bark, okra in a natural food source, psyllium husk, and things like that.
And what about, Barry, if we did lots of fruits and vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables are very, very high in fibers. You can tell the foods that are fibrous. You know what I mean? They taste it. You can chew on them. So, you can taste those things. Like from apples are very fibrous, actually. There are all kinds of different vegetables, I think, that are very high in fiber, too. The energy part is a little bit tough, because energy can be anywhere from anything dysfunctioning in the body over a long period of time is draining. will drain your body and it's not functioning. So you might say energy is running off. So getting energy from certain foods are a little bit tougher because that can come from many different places. I mean, from adrenal insufficiency, like eating just too much fake sugars like the glucose or the processed foods can drain your adrenals. So, and I think a lot of people who live and are under a lot of stress usually have drained adrenals or fatigue. We call those phase one or phase two, like fatigue adrenals. So that would be one thing. But anything can cause fatigue over time, whether it's a dysfunctioning digestive system, an endocrine system that is very hard to balance, what we talked about, the adrenals, or a low thyroid. So you have to figure out really where that's coming from when it comes to energy, because I don't think there's just one food that will help you.
Right. I agree with that. Now, Laura, when you go into someone's home, let's say they've got a canister of sugar, a canister of flour, what do you substitute those with?
So because most people still need sugar in their diet, I tend to ask them to get sucanat, which is an unrefined sugar, and it still has the vitamins and minerals in it. You know, when we have white sugar, they've already removed those vitamins and minerals. Those are what molasses is. And so sucanat still has the molasses in the sugar cane. And it's a dehydrated product. So, and sucanat can act just like a sugar. So because transitioning a family away from what they're comfortable with and familiar with in an easy manner, because I'm working with people who typically are not sick. If someone's really sick, they're willing to do just about anything to change their taste buds. But for the average person, it can take anywhere from 3 weeks to a year to change over what their body's comfortable having. And then there are all sorts of emotional ties that we have with food. So that's difficult to change, too. So I wouldn't say to someone, take the sugar out of your diet. I would say start with sucanat. And when it comes to white flour, as long as there weren't learning issues with children or celiac consequences or, you know, intestinal problems, I would say try to switch over to a organic flour or an organic pastry flour and then eventually to a whole wheat. But do that gradually as well because the texture of any baked goods is going to change.
Ah, okay.
And then if there are food allergies, then they have to go on a gluten-free diet, and that's different. That's totally different. That brings in a whole bunch of different recipes and ways of eating and ways of cooking because the ingredients act differently.
Now, the gluten-free is interesting to me. I'm starting to see a lot of people who are allergic to this. Now, I mean, to me, it's something new, but it seems to be spreading, you know, and you see it a lot in magazines now, you know, test yourself, you know, by eating, as far as like losing weight and stuff like that. I read in the magazine a couple weeks ago, you know, to see if gluten is your issue as far as not being able to lose weight, try a gluten-free diet for a couple of weeks and then, you know, compare gluten to not gluten, that kind of thing. What do you think about that kind of stuff?
Barry, can I take this one first and then
sure,
let you take over
go.
The medical part of it?
Go
ahead. So people who are true celiacs, we're not all celiacs who really cannot process gluten. There's there are many, many, many in America. Let's just leave it with America, but around the world there are many celiacs, but we're not all addicted. Have that issue. I don't mean to say addicted. We don't all have that. But if you think about flour and you put your hand, imagine putting your hand into a bag of flour. The only way you can even put that into your mouth without choking is if you mix it with a fat and like an oil or an egg, liquid like milk or water or juice, and typically something sweet unless we're making a bread. You can't eat it. I like to call it dead white flour because there's nothing alive in flour. Now, all those people who love bread are going to hate me for saying that. But really, truly, once it's processed, there's nothing alive in it. So what we buy in the stores, what we call bread, has to have its vitamins and minerals sprayed back upon it. So many of us are already malnourished in our intestines from what we're eating, what we grew up on. So we have a weakened immune system. And then we question, if we take out things that are not strengthening our bodies and we remove them for a while and we go on a what's called a gluten-free diet, which means you're actually taking away the dead white flour, your body can actually heal a little bit better because it's having a chance to get rid of the sticky stuff that's adhering to the intestines.
Okay.
And absorption is better. Now I'm going to pass this over to Dr. Barry because he's going to be able to answer this now from the medical point of view.
Okay.
Well, listen, I can't agree more with so many things you just said. I just think the starches are the things that have made us sick. I mean, we've added so many more pounds of that processed flour into our diets over the years since the 20s and 30s. I mean, there were clinicians talking about this back then, about there's going to be rampant obesity, metabolic X syndrome, all kinds of disease processes because of the processed flours. Again, she's right. You've taken everything out of it. They've created those things so that bugs won't eat it. I mean, if living organisms don't want it, we don't want it. And that means it could stay on the shelf a lot longer. If you notice, in the supermarkets, those things can stay in the shelves for months. They can't be very viable and vital if nothing wants it, like whether it's bacteria or whatever is out there in the natural, you know, environment.
Right.
And I see so many diseases from this. I can't even begin to tell you how this has made you sick, whether it's immune, whether it's digestion, whether it's your organs and your endocrine systems that are dysfunctioning because of this. I take a lot of people off of the starches as much as I can to start with. I actually think you need a minimal amount of it. I think we're addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people do get over this. It's amazing. Like after the third or fourth day, you know, they have a little bit of that detox symptom. There's so many people who say to me, I didn't realize I didn't need this for such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can test themselves very simply by going off of it for a couple of weeks. And that's called a modified elimination diet, where you take foods out of your diet and then slowly reintroduce them back in and see what kind of symptoms you get. Because you'll notice right away if you have a food allergy, because within 24 to 48 hours, you'll feel bad.
Yeah.
So you know that right away. And you can add foods one by one back into your diet, see if you have any allergies. Intolerances are a little harder to find, to figure out, because you can feel those within like 2 to 7 days, like just not feeling right, malaise, headache, little things, not like the allergies or the quick responses. So I think just it's disturbed our body so many different ways. I don't think there's a lot of true celiac diseases. I just think there's a lot of mixes of things that we've disturbed our gut lining and what we call the pH, because you have to have a balance of pH. Everything has to happen within a certain amount of acid, alkaline within the gut. And if it goes one way or the other too much, you get very sick.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to reestablish that and get the gut working again. And remember, everything comes into your gut. That's where we make foreign into friendly. Tons of food go into your body throughout the year. That's where you get sick mostly. That's where things get into you. That's where you can get disrupted mostly.
Now, what do you guys think of, I know what you said about sugarnut, Laura, but what do you think of the sugar substitutes? Tammy in the chat room says that she puts like 5 teaspoons of sugar, regular sugar, in a small coffee. So, I mean, that's a lot for a small coffee, but if somebody doesn't have the sucanat or what would you suggest they use? Because I know a lot of these things have like aspartame in it, and I'm not really even too sure what it is. And now you see all these new things, Truvia, and all these other little plants that they're coming out with.
Tammy's definitely.
Laura, you want to take
this? Yeah, this is
then
a real.
I can answer a little bit afterwards also.
First of all, anything you can't pronounce, I wouldn't suggest you eat or consume.
That's a good answer.
Those chemicals are true chemicals, and there are warnings written all over them and have been for years. So any of that stuff, anything that comes in a pink, blue, or yellow wrapper, stay away from it, is my recommendation number one. There is a product called Stevia. It's a plant-based product. It's not my favorite taste, but some people love it. I'm not sure it'll taste really good to a person who's having 5 teaspoons of sugar in their coffee. They definitely are not going to make a clean switch. The first thing I would do is go out and buy a bag of Sucanat. You can order it online. You can find it at Whole Foods. You can find it at a health food store. And start switching that way. Maple syrup is really nice in a cup of coffee. But
really?
I like it a lot. It makes it very, very rich. But 5 teaspoons of sugar. My question is, why are we drinking the coffee?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, that sounds like you need a soda. And the question is it the caffeine or the sugar that's pepping you up? Because both of them are going to ratchet up the adrenals, ratchet up the body, get a kick-starting of the day, go to sleep an hour earlier. You know, these are hard habits to break. But there are real consequences to this kind of pattern because you start that first thing in the morning or in the middle of the afternoon, your blood sugar is fluctuating all day long, and the cravings and the moods and the sleep patterns all get affected from that.
I would also add, if you'd like to try agave nectar, it's also a lower glycemic index sugar. But, yeah, she's right. She's way too high. I mean, five sugars, I don't know what she's going to get out of that. Those synthetic sugars, I mean, the real sugars, it's just too much of. There are some things that can change the addiction to sugar a little bit because I think you subtly, when you start to get the body healthy, you subtly, I think, convert it to your body wanting different things because I believe that sugar, again, is not giving her anything but a false energy rush. She's right. She's going to be sleepy in the middle of the day. She's always going to be tired, bad sleep issues, mood issues, exactly what you said. Glucose and that sugar can depress your immune system. There's been studies on that and how many grams of, like, glucose or sugar can make you your immune system get lessened and depressed. Those synthetic sugars also, like the blue, pink, and yellow packets, anything synthetic is going to kill you because you're not evolved to actually eat those things. Those aren't genetically organic foods that your body's evolved to break down and eat and use properly. They're just not real. They're man-made products.
Right.
So I definitely would stay away from that. Things like gymnema, which is a great herb we use in my office, if you just suck on it, it's an herb they've used in India for thousands of years. It is called the sweet killer. It might help you break the addiction by one sucking on it because it changes your taste buds so that sweets don't taste good when you're having those cravings.
See, I need that for my children.
There you go. Well, we all need it for our kids because they're on the outside and we can't control everything.
What is it called again?
It's called gymnema, G-Y-M-N-E-M-A. And also swallow it because they say it is helpful in balancing what we call the pancreas reflexes where obviously you make insulin.
Right.
You know, this is an overload of someone who probably eats a lot of starches too because she's just always trying to get that blood sugar back up because it's going through so many ups and downs and swings. Because, again, any of the starches convert within 20 – processed starches convert into sugar in your blood within 20 minutes.
That's
so
right.
So you're putting a lot of stress on your pancreas and your insulin balances. We only make one hormone that takes sugar out of the blood and puts it into the body, which is insulin. And we make three or four different types of cortisols that actually take the sugar out of the body tissue and bring it back into the blood when we need energy. So it's like that bad tug of war. It's three against one. If we're putting so much sugar in, we're overwhelming that pancreas and insulin production.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say to Tammy, because she keeps throwing in the word energy, if you listen to what they're saying, Tammy, it's false energy. You are definitely going to crash.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking Red Bull or any of that nonsense, you'll go real, real far, but when it comes time, you're going to drop down like a sack of bricks. So that's what they're trying to explain to you. So.
You know, and what Tammy could probably, if it's Tammy we're answering or anyone else, one of the things that maybe we could suggest is try to do fruit in the morning. And some people say, well, I can't eat fruit in the morning. My stomach can't take it. But if, and there are all sorts of things around that, but if fruit can be eaten in the morning throughout the morning until about noontime, it has natural sugar in it and fiber, and it doesn't have the high highs and lows of the high glycemic indexes and crashing down. And, you know, even two or three bananas or an apple, granted, this is not necessarily the best option for some people. I'm not saying that. But the sugar habit is going to be hard to just stop. You know, first of all, her palate is used to it. That's what she's used to having every morning. It's her comfort food. So, you know, it depends on how aggressive she wants to be. Some people are willing to do things cold turkey. Other people have to do baby steps.
I did that, and that's what I'm glad you said that because I did do that. I was just like Tammy with sugar, and I would drink coffee. Now, I would put a ton of sugar in the coffee. On top of that, I would use the sweeteners, the creamers, the flavored creamers have a lot of sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I stopped coffee altogether. It's 4 weeks now. And I haven't had a drip of coffee. I haven't had any of that stuff. And I switched over to just regular tea. And I put a little bit of sugar in it. But then I went to Splenda. Okay? But I don't like the way Splenda tastes.
Mm-mm.
And it makes me feel like I'm gagging after the cup of tea. Like you don't even taste tea. It's like your throat is really dry. And it's like you want to cough up a lung or something. So I just put a little bit of sugar in the tea. I don't need, it's not even a teaspoon. But so I did do that. And I did a cold turkey. So, I mean, some people can do that. I did get headaches at first, but
sure.
I'm off of coffee completely now. I haven't had it at all.
And try a little agave nectar in your tea, and that will be even better for you.
Tammy decided to call in. She's not shy anymore. So let's, Tammy, you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Tammy,
okay.
We're talking about you third person, so it's good that you're joining us here.
Hi,
I'm sick as a dog, so please forgive me. Like garbage.
From all that damn sugar.
Thanks.
Exactly. That's what's messing your system.
No, the reason why I do all that sugar in the coffee, I have no thyroid activity. So, in other words, just to function in the morning, I do all that sugar, and I never crash, but I start getting low, and then I have to do, like, junk food or whatever, just
right.
to have some energy, just so I can move around and function.
Are you on medication?
At the moment, no, just throat coat, natural stuff.
No, I mean for your thyroid.
I'm supposed to take thyroid pills, but they have to up the level because
yes.
I plateaued, and we can't up the level because I had an accident at work, and I can't exercise or anything, so they can't speed up my heart rate unless I'm able to exercise.
You would
I've
need to
nothing,
balance your endocrine, you know, I think to help yourself, you need to balance your endocrine system. I mean, you obviously have a hypothyroidism. So your endocrine, which is that intertwining between, like, the adrenals, which we've been talking about, like to get that fake energy rush into you. But also you have to realize it's a kind of a balancing act between that, what we call the hypothalamus, the anterior pituitary, all those endocrine, they interrelate to each other. It's almost like a fine dance. And remember, small amounts of everything create drastic changes in your body. So, if you would like to, at one point, you should seek out care for someone who can help, like, the alternative components of this, like the thyroid naturally. Because, again, you should probably be taking, not knowing your case, but, like, iodine is fantastic because that's what you need to make thyroid hormone.
What is that?
So that would help. Iodine. It's actually, it used to be sold like back in the 30s and 40s. It used to be called Lugo's solution. It's part iodine and potassium iodine. And you have to realize T3 and T4, which are the thyroid hormones.
Right.
T3 stands for three iodines attached organically to the hormone, and T4 is four iodine molecules. So it's a necessary mineral to produce this. So to take that iodine and potassium iodine in a certain proportion, and there's a lot of companies that make this now, would probably help at least complement what you're going through as you're monitoring this with your medical doctor, probably also supporting your adrenals. So you need to do all those things and seek out care to help yourself and change your diet, because that'll start, as you start to balance one thing, you won't need as much as the other thing, the sugars.
So I need potassium iodine.
Potassium iodine and iodine, that's probably, it's hard telling you over the phone and not seeing you as a patient, but that's certainly something I would try. There are people who have done a lot of studies, like very high dosages, but start with very low dosages, iodine and potassium iodine. There's a lot of out there. Just look it up and you'll find it on the internet.
Well, can I have a suggestion here, Tammy, because you live in Manhattan and Dr. Barry is based in Manhattan. Maybe you should make an appointment to see him.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'm in Queens, but it's not far from Manhattan at all.
No, not at all. He's on West 42nd Street. Tammy works in JFK. She's a TSA agent. So I put Dr. Barry's information into the chat room and his website. So get on that, call his office, and see if you can make an appointment to see him. Maybe this is the guy who can actually finally help you, because you're always complaining that you're always sick or you don't feel good. There's always something wrong. So maybe this is a guy who can help you.
I think that would be
awesome, Joanne. Thank you so much.
Take a little risk. Thank you for calling.
Thanks
I will
lot,
definitely
Penny.
Come see you.
That'd be great. I think you'll get a lot of help. It'll be a little bit of a journey. You got to take a little risk. But I think you'll start to notice some changes. If this is working, people start to notice changes within like 4, 6, or 8 weeks. They start to see those subtle changes occur.
Well, I'm going to call first to make sure the insurance will go through and everything. Because I'm federal.
Call
so his
office in the morning. Call his office in the morning, and I'm sure you can talk about all that stuff, okay?
We'll discuss everything.
And Joanne,
you'll
send me the number?
I put his website in the chat room, and I'll put the phone number in there as well.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Tammy. You're welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy.
Okay. I have a question in the chat room. What do you recommend? Right, let me get back there, Joanne. Where'd you go? What can you take for vitamins if you can't swallow pills?
Well, there's a number of things you can do. Obviously, you can get a mortar and pestle and just ground it up and put it into some fluids. I think that's an easy way. That would be the first thing. There are not many, vitamins are really ground. The only thing I use is real food ground up vitamins. So there's hard to get those in a liquefied basis pre-made. So I definitely say the mortar and pestle is the best thing for you. I mean, there are certainly great herbs that come in liquid tinctures. That would be a good thing. Or homeopathic remedies might be a good thing. But you won't be getting vitamins. You'll be getting homeopathic remedies and herbs. So I think the mortar and pestle idea would be the best. Put it into some type of fluid. Drink it, whether you make a protein shake or something like that, and just put it in there, and it would be easy to digest and absorb.
And the trick about the protein shake or just a regular smoothie is don't put it in the entire smoothie, because if it has a funny flavor at all, it'll color the entire smoothie. Put it in a small cup of it. Take it so that the vitamins go down, and then chase it with the nice flavor of your banana strawberry smoothie or your
That's
vanilla
great.
Protein. So don't ruin the whole smoothie or the whole shake with the flavors of those vitamins if you can't swallow. And that's what I do with little kids.
Well, I was pretty lucky like that. Both my kids took medicine with no issues. I was very lucky in that. And one won't eat a vegetable, but he'll take his medicine, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the stealth eating is really good for those kind of things, right, Laura, with the kids we talked about?
The stealth, hiding it. Hiding it? Hiding the vegetables?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes. And playing games with them. Sometimes what I do with kids is I'll take cookie cutters and we'll make animals or shapes out of a pepper or cucumber or carrots, and then we'll make a fun dip that I might blend. You know, black beans and hummus are really great things to hide cauliflower or guacamole with peas or spinach. And I even worked with a family where I made this little boy wouldn't eat anything, but he would eat my little chocolate chip. He had no idea what was in these things. Chocolate chip with spinach.
Really?
Whole wheat little nuggets. And I made them so that they were about little balls of about a half an inch so that he had to put the whole thing in his mouth. It was too small for him to take a bite out of it. So once it was in his mouth, he was just eating it. And there were no eggs in this. It was made with flax, and I used blueberry puree, so there were some blueberries in there, and some ground-up nuts. This little boy could eat nuts, and he would just pop them in his mouth, and he would help me make them. We'd make little balls, and he would eat them, and his mother would say, "He's eating them." And I said, "Yes, and let him have them for breakfast. Just let him have them," because there was nothing bad in this. So that kind of hiding the food, hiding the good stuff in it is really great.
Absolutely.
Like,
so
I'm giving my kids this green juice, and I really...
What is it called?
It's
green
a green
juice?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a juice with celery, cucumber, Swiss chard, kale. They got some parsley in it the last couple of days. It has lemon juice. It has ginger. But then I have juiced a ton of apples, and so I really cut it with the apple juice.
Okay.
And so they're drinking it down. And, you know, that's the balancing, I say. You just have to drink it. That's what they're having
it's
in the morning.
It's just green.
It's just green, that's all. And what I did read, and I have never done this, but people who have plastic cups that are colored, or even better with little kids, sippy cups with lids and colored straws, that really hides things. So
I agree with you on that. I have a friend who actually kind of fakes them out with thinking that makes their kids think they're shakes. And they put them in the actual McDonald's cup and say, yeah, here you go.
Perfect.
There's your McDonald's cup.
It's so
and they
perfect.
Think it's a shake from McDonald's.
And they think they could buy that at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, there's really good recipes with smoothies made with blueberries, pomegranate juice, spinach, chocolate. That's one of my favorites to give to kids. And spinach, baby spinach pureed with a really good blender. This is the tricky part. You need a really, really high-powered blender, like a Vitamix or there's another one I'm blanking out of the name, but a really high-powered one is best. Or if you don't have a high-powered one, do it in small batches, like banana with spinach or with flax in it or flax oil. Or nuts, like macadamia nuts. Those are the high, you need high-powered ones, I suppose you could take a mortar and pestle and help grind it up before you put it in. So if there's any texture issues, drinking it with a straw will be a problem with some children.
My kids
have texture issues, so I had to find a really high-powered blender. But then you can put all of this into a smoothie, and they're getting all their nutrients. And
exactly.
You can play with it that way.
Montel Williams actually has a blender out. Now I can't think of the name of it. That is just what you said, one of those really, really high-powered blenders that mixes everything in. He does an infomercial with Forbes Riley, and they talk about it and stuff like that.
What I did is I went through four or five different types, and I just made sure that the warranty allowed me to return them if they didn't work out. That's
exactly.
All. So try it, you know, which works for you. I know the Vita Mix is a really, really good one. Unfortunately, I don't make any money recommending it, and I've sold many of them.
Oh, jeez.
they're waiting for you.
Exactly. When I get that link on my website, there we go.
Okay. I'm telling you, might as well make some money off of it. That's right. You know, pimp something out, get something for
there
it, Laura.
There we go.
But I say, well, I think on my next trip down to Manhattan, Dr. Barry, I'm going to have to come and see you.
Oh, good idea.
Good idea. I was just there, what was it, Laura, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, or whatever it was. But, I'm a complicated girl. My listeners know my deal. So I am a 40-year-old non-Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor, two times, bone marrow transplant. The chemo killed my muscles to the point where I had to go to physical therapy to learn how to kind of run again, to get my back to normal, because it was completely, literally, I would walk and fall with no prompting. Nobody was pushing me. I was just falling. And, you know, there you go. And so my body has been pumped with so much poison in it. They told me, my oncologist at Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida, told me that I'll be experiencing side effects for the rest of my life, and nobody can predict what they'll be.
Wow.
And because of the radiation that I had, it opens me up to breast cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, thyroid cancer. And I think that's about it. But, like, that's not enough.
You know, I have such a strong belief that the body really wants to try to become healthy again, no matter how much trauma you've been through. I think you give it real food, not counterfeit food, and real nutrients that actually are vitamins contained as a complex, because I think we're, again, getting those vitamins as just synthetics or just isolated. I think the greater the disease, I guess the greater the awakening, if you start to really feed it well, and restore some of that balance and, you know, feed the weaknesses, not just with food, which I think is a fantastic thing, obviously, but with the right nutrients within those foods that will help you grow and get healthy again. Because I really think your body wants to be healthy and it has tremendous potential, no matter what you've been through.
Right.
Well, you'll see Barry, and then you'll come to my house, and we'll do some recipes together.
Right. We'll
I think that would be fabulous because I just started working out again. It's difficult because I only have one and a half functioning of my lungs because of the radiation. So it is difficult. So I gained a lot of weight. You know, most people lose it when they have cancer. Not Joanne. You kidding me?
There you go. So, you're the opposite.
I went from a Coke bottle body to a friggin' Coke can, and I'm trying to get back to, you know, some kind of normalcy, you know, and it's been a very rough road. I've tried the Mona V, I've tried the acai berries, I did all that crap, and nothing works for me. So I'm a skeptic when it comes to stuff like that now.
Well, listen, you're trying what they call the mass answer. It's like the telemarketing thing or the infomercial. One thing doesn't work miracles for every different condition. Like I say in my office, people come in when they look like they may have the same exact symptoms, but they go out with completely different protocols because everybody's so unique. So, again, it's like that one, maybe the acai berry or maybe whatever, the Mona V. It's not the answer for everything. It may be the answer for that person who's promoting it, and maybe they've had a great results with it. But I don't think you can mass out anything for every symptom. I don't think there's one answer. I think everything has to be very specific and individual and customized.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I try anything now. You know, I mean, if I could do all that, I could do anything as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm going to tell you something that maybe neither one of you know. Maybe, Barry, you do know because you work in the medical profession. Did you know when a person is on Medicare, okay, this I think is a big contributor to the problem of obesity in the world, in the nation, and all that other stuff. When it comes to insurance companies, specifically Medicare, I can speak on because I researched it. They will not pay for you to go see a nutritionist unless you've actually been diagnosed with diabetes or some other kind of disease, you know. I won't even name any others because diabetes is the only one that I really looked up.
Right.
If you're pre-diabetic, you're not approved to see a nutritionist. It's wait until you get diabetes, and then we'll send you to a nutritionist. And instead of seeing that nutritionist, they will pay full cost for you to have gastric bypass surgery.
Right. It's a sad statement that I guess in medicine, we have to wait for, you know, something acute and severe to happen before we, you know, do any treatment versus anything preventative and smart ahead of time. I think all insurances, I think they pay for what we call registered dietitian. I don't know about Medicaid itself, but they will pay for, regular insurances pay for what we call RDs, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's just about eating healthy and different dietary things. They will not pay for clinical nutrition or nutrients or whole food nutrients or changing your diet or anything like that. They just don't cover those things.
Go ahead, Barry. I want you to finish.
You can talk. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, though, you know, insurance companies are also saying in their own weird way that we're responsible for our own health. And some of us have weaknesses that we come into this planet with, into this lifetime, and others of us just need to go back to common sense. And if we can't pronounce something, it can't be good for us. And if we think about some of the ways that we were fed once, you know, with fruits and vegetables and less processed foods, the things that our grandparents say, I'm not saying that 100 years ago people didn't get sick. They did. They certainly got sick. But the things that we're getting sick from today are so very much connected to what we're eating.
Mm-hmm. They're preventable, I think.
They are preventable.
And
you don't necessarily have to go to a registered dietitian or to know what one should eat. We know what we need to eat. It's common sense. We've been, you know, we're not baby cows. You know, we don't need a pint of ice cream 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need as much cheese as they say. And, you know, an apple a day does keep the doctor away.
There you go.
You know, they're just simple things that we could make changes of. We know that coffee isn't so great for us. Certainly not mm-hmm. 5 cups a day.
Yeah.
Or 5 teaspoons of sugar.
Right. Right.
In any case,
it's all food. It's chicken, fish, fruits and vegetables and salads. Those are the most basic things we should be eating. They're real food. They were grown. That's what we need to eat. And we should get back to that.
And I would say it's vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, beans, and then the meat products. I would flip it even more. But it depends on where you are in your journey. You know, if it
yeah.
right now is about getting off of a McDonald's burger, then please go buy yourself some healthy meat or a piece of chicken and make
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I have to say that in my little quest of changing everything in my house, I mean, if Tyler, okay, won't touch a vegetable, but I throw that fiber powder right into his drinks and he don't
there
even
you go.
Know it. But, you know, he don't know the difference. You know, he'll eat bananas. I can't really say he's a bad eater, per se. I just wish he would try the vegetables. But in this house, the only thing that gets cooked is chicken, fish, brown rice, vegetables for my oldest son, because he'll eat anything that you put in front of him. You know, he's a little gavone. He's 17. He'll eat anything. But, you know, it's those are the only things that get eaten in this house. I don't buy red meat. I don't buy steaks. I don't buy chopped meat anymore. All that is out the door. Chopped meat has been substituted with turkey burgers or chicken burgers. So, I mean, people talk about that it's expensive to eat healthy. And it is if you want to go organic. I tried that 1 month, and believe me, it busted my budget. So I do know that, but there's other ways to do it by making those simple transitions. Chicken is not as expensive as it used to be. You can definitely buy chicken. It doesn't have to be, oh, you know, chopped meat used to be the stretch meal food. My father used to call it, oh, buy that chopped meat and make stretch meals, you know, that'll last a family of seven, you know, a good 2 weeks. You don't have to do that anymore. You can do turkey and chicken now.
You can do turkey and chicken with a can of beans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you know,
a very inexpensive meal.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you say that it's expensive to eat healthy, but remember, you're going to pay a lot more down the road by being sick.
Exactly,
you're
right.
Medical bills and how over-the-counter medication, the days you miss, how you feel every day. So, I mean, there's a price to pay on both ends of it. I think it's a lot cheaper in the long run.
I think it's a lot cheaper in the long run. I often think, too, is even if you say, well, I'll have insurance and they'll pay for it, think about the emotional costs and the physical costs on your own family and the loved ones in your life.
Exactly. You're right. I mean,
they're the ones who, if you might have insurance to pay for surgery or hospital care, but who's taking care of your family? Who's taking care of your children?
And your quality of life is just going to be poor.
Exactly. I completely agree with you on that. And little things make the difference. You know, it is possible, you know, if you start making the changes, you know, small. Baby steps, people.
Baby steps.
Absolutely. Well, Laura, to get off topic real quick, I have a caller that is a One Life to Live fan, so I got to bring her on.
Okay.
We got Eva.
Oh, Eva.
Hello?
Hi, Eva.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could call in. How are you enjoying being on One Life to Live again?
Well, I'm enjoying it. How are you enjoying
it? Oh, I'm loving it.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm loving it.
And you're letting everyone know, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm, again, nervous. Well, is the doctor still in the house?
Yes, I'm still in the house.
Because I have to use oxygen all the time now, and my doctor told me that I would have to have that surgery, you know, where they, I don't know, help you lose weight, you know.
And
that was
bypass surgery.
Right.
How much do you weigh, if you don't mind me asking, is that okay?
This
is personal, I don't have to answer, it's okay. And you're using oxygen because you're just exhausted all the time?
Yeah, because of that.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, you guys were talking about, I usually eat grilled chicken now and to try to lose it. But I was wondering if that surgery would help my oxygen. Would it, take it out?
Listen, it's hard to say what the side effects or the benefits are going to be. Obviously, taking that weight off of the bariatric surgery, you'll have positive feelings, you know, obviously get positive results from it. I think in the long term, obviously, it's very difficult on your digestive system. You're totally rearranging that whole thing. So long-term health is a little bit hard to say. Short-term health, I mean, you're going to probably have better symptoms. Your symptoms will be reduced for a while. I think your oxygen may be helped by this because anytime you're losing weight, you're not putting as much stress on your heart and your lungs and things like that. So I'm guessing it will help. I'm sure your bariatric surgeon will know more about the cases that he's been involved with and the things he's seen. But again, I don't think this is a long-term great answer. I mean, unless you can't do things over time to get yourself healthy, because I think you need to obviously take control of your own health.
Okay. Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
Can I ask Laura a question?
Sure.
Okay. Hi. So I was just asking about, I was wondering if that was your Facebook or is that someone posing as you?
On Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
My answers to you, Eva, are from me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you watched the YouTube clips I've been from the old days when you was One Life to Live?
I have been seeing so many amazing montages and clips from people. And, because I link through the ones that are on my website and then I see other ones that are coming up. So I'm not sure if they're exactly from you or from other people, but there have been so many, and it's been such great fun to watch. I thank all of you because there's so many shows, and many of them I don't even remember taping them, or they'll trigger a memory, and it's just been so much fun. Saturday night I spent about an hour watching all of these YouTube clips and having such a great time watching them.
That's wonderful.
So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, and I continue to go to your website to see if, you know, anything new.
Well, I think there's a bunch of new things up there right now.
Yeah, I think there is. I haven't been there recently, actually.
Well, when I was on Saturday night, I saw all sorts of shows that Michael and Robert had put up for me, and I was quite surprised because I didn't realize there were so many clips that I had a library of these clips. So it was fun. It was really great fun to watch.
Well, I wrote in your your guest book, and I hope one day I get to meet you. I know there's tons of fans who wants to have lunch with you.
I think we should do lunch in my kitchen, and we should just all cook together.
I think so.
Okay. I think that could be it. I think that might be part of, I've been talking about that. Like, why are we going out to a restaurant? Why don't we just do it here?
To cook.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
might be something we need to do. Bring that oxygen tank. I have an elevator. You can come to my kitchen.
You're so sweet. Okay, well, I don't want to keep you, so.
Thanks for calling in, Eva.
Take
care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eva.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm sure it's definitely kind of hard to diagnose questions like that over the telephone, Dr. Barry, especially when you have
as a patient. Right. You need to know a little more information, but it's nice talking to everybody, getting some good information, at least getting some information to them, how I think they can get healthy through what Laura does or what I do.
Right. Well, I tell you, I really think the two of you should, in this journey that you guys are doing, I think you should develop a cookbook.
Joanne, don't you remember what I said? You don't need another cookbook. You just need to put it into practice.
Well, I mean, for you guys, a cookbook. Yeah, you do. Come on now.
We need hands-on teaching.
There's so many people writing books. Everyone has said that to me for years. Write a cookbook, Laura. Write a cookbook. I'm like, how many more cookbooks do we need to buy? Really?
But you know what, though? Not everybody can get the pleasure of having you come into their kitchen.
No. What I'd rather do, actually, is a real step-by-step, maybe, program, like television show or YouTube show or something where really I actually walk you through your own kitchen by going through a kitchen, somebody's kitchen, and starting with that. You know, we can't go through my kitchen. I don't have white sugar in my kitchen. It doesn't
okay.
look there. But
right.
go to somebody's house and really record this. And
I think that's a great idea.
Use that as a template. Dr. Barry's more hands-on, definitely. You know, we could bring him. Maybe we just bring both of us to someone's home.
Throw me in.
I'll bring him along.
Just bring him along. It's okay.
That with the video crew. And we'll just do it that way. That's a possibility. We'll see.
You know,
I'm open.
Good idea. It's a good idea. And you know what? You mentioned YouTube. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the Internet now. With YouTube, I don't know if you're familiar with Skype.
Yes.
You can do it.
Skype. Yes.
Okay, yeah. See, so do I. They made me download it last year when I did an interview. I had no idea what it was. But you know what? You don't even have to do that. You could do it on AOL Instant Messenger. You could do it on Yahoo Messenger.
Right. The technology really, really helps us out now.
We could
certainly Skype somebody's kitchen.
Yeah, you can, absolutely.
Right.
You can Yahoo somebody's kitchen. Forget about Skype if you have to pay for it. Yahoo's free. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's funny because, and I say that, and you'll laugh at this, because a couple weeks ago, me and Brandon were talking on Yahoo Instant Messenger, and I saw the little telephone next to his thing, and I hit it, and I hear this phone starting to ring. And I was like, what is that? And then Brandon's like, hello? And I was like, hello? And we're talking through the computer.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, so you can definitely do stuff like that. And then we flipped on our webcams, and it was like, hey.
I
can see you doing
something
like
that. It can all
like
be done that way. It really can. Yes.
I think it's a great idea.
But I think
right.
people...
We're ready.
Can, yeah, we'll do it. We'll figure
right.
it out.
So what's next for you two? Where are we at with you guys?
Well, we're all... looking forward, Joanne. I don't know that we have a real good answer for that one right now. You know,
right. Oh.
But Barry and I are thinking about different venues right now.
How to work together, different venues. We're trying to put it together and think about different things we can do at this moment.
Oh,
if you
know,
have any ideas, you can tell us.
You know what, Barry? I think you kind of know. I ain't shy, so I'll tell you.
Okay, yeah, I can tell that. Not the quiet type.
Not at all. Not me. No. That's the one thing I'm not as quiet. Before I let you go, though, Laura, I have to bring on... Oh, I got two more callers that I need to put on for you that have been on hold for a while.
Okay.
And they're One Life to Live fans. So
lovely.
I have to bring on... This is Rita.
Oh,
Rita,
thank
are you, there?
You, Joanne. Yes. Can you hear me?
Say hi to Laura.
Hi, Rita.
Now, another beautiful actress she interviewed. Now we know part of your secret.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, thank you. I think I was the one that told you, remember when you were getting killed off because you were dying of cancer? On all my children.
Okay.
They were doing that so you could set the record straight and put Dorian, set Dorian back, put her in her place.
I remember our conversation.
Whatever.
Right.
Now I need you to set me straight.
Okay.
I have a problem, and, well, can I ask two questions? Number one, you were talking about the different sugars, and I am a very, very heavy NutraSweet person. I mean, I'm a diet-controlled diabetic, like Joanne was talking about. You have to be a pre before the insurance will allow you to do certain things, and I drink a lot of diet pop, and now it seems like slowly but surely they might go the Splenda way. What is your opinion on Splenda?
I think, and I'm not completely up on the synthetics, but I think Splenda is a better alternative. Dr. Bryant might disagree with me.
You know, I don't know if there's any such thing as a better alternative. They're both synthetic.
Yeah.
So they're not really going to be good for you. I mean, I guess your thing is to get off of anything, even the synthetic sugars. I don't think they're going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Plus, remember, the sodas are all full of what we call phosphoric acid, the bubbly part of it.
Uh-huh.
And that'll also disturb your digestive system because it's acidic. So it'll change the pH over time in your digestion. So you're going to disrupt your body in so many different ways. I just think synthetic foods are just never going to be good for you in the long run. If you can get to something more natural, whether you have a little bit of juice and dilute it with water
mm-hmm,
over time
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so it has a little bit of sweetness, you're much better off than the phosphoric acid and the synthetic sugars.
Well, even if it's natural, I'm a little bit afraid of that 32 grams of, even if it's in its natural. And I could probably go the natural way, but I get a little bit scared.
Can you take some bubbly water like Poland Springs that has lemon or lime, or put lemon and lime in it into some seltzer water and with a little bit of juice?
Well, I should try to get into that habit.
And then try to wean yourself off of that. This
right.
is you have your taste buds are really, really addicted to this. And your body.
Yeah, it is.
And your mind. I mean, everything is. You know, and if you're really vain like I am, just think of the fact that every time you drink a soda that you're just aging yourself from the inside out.
I don't think I have as much to be vain about as you do here.
No, we all have a little vanity.
We all have vanity, Rita. All of us.
But the other thing is I don't lose, I don't burn. I don't seem to burn. And to give you the seriousness of what I'm saying is, when I was beaten up and I bit the guy and I could not literally eat for 3 months, literally, my mom was the one that lost the 13 pounds. I didn't lose 1 ounce, and I literally could not eat. And I know I graduated into stuff. What people do not talk about the standstill. People don't talk about the period of time that you just don't lose weight. What is good for that?
A plateau, you mean?
Yeah. Plateau, thank you.
The plateau. It's tricky. I mean, there could be,
you know, I truly think it's organ dysfunction.
Yeah, I was going to say metabolic issues.
Right.
I might have an inactive thyroid. I don't know.
Right. That's where someone like Dr. Barry could come in and test how your organs are responding, how the endocrine system is working.
Right. Because I definitely think dysfunction will get you to that plateau and not let you lose weight. That's the secret between, like, getting to where you want to get to, even if you're eating well. And also you got to remember that when things aren't working well, what's a great barrier in the body? I think it's water. So when organs and systems don't work well, your body barricades it with water. It's like that barrier. And that waterway will always stay on you because it's like a barrier when something's not working well. So you have to treat those dysfunctions if you're eating well and doing all these things and just can't get to where you want to get to.
And let's say you're doing all of, you're treating your organs, you're eating really well, and having a soda a day is not eating really well, I'm sorry. Really and truly, eating very cleanly. There might be an emotional component too.
Correct.
So a good old-fashioned diary, just dump it. You know, a pillow that you can punch, a walk you can do, a run you can take, somewhere where you're going to try to discharge anything that might still be stuck in your body. Is there something that hasn't been dealt with? Sometimes we have to go there.
A lot.
Yeah, so where is a safe place to do it? Is a diary that you can burn at the end of the day? Can you write on a piece of paper? Can you flush it down the toilet? Can you yell and scream into the woods behind your house with anybody not thinking you're crazy? You know, is there something you can hit that won't hurt you?
Can I find a picture of Steve Levin and throw darts at it?
Whatever works, darling. Just as long as you
don't
hurt yourself or anyone else.
I don't think that'll help.
You know, is it getting some therapy or someone to talk to in your church or your community or your best friend? You know, sometimes all of those pieces need to be in place. Yoga, meditation, you know, but it's a whole lifestyle question. You know, I actually really sit down with my clients and I say, really and truly, how do you want to live out the rest of your life? Whether it's 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? And that's the kind of questions that make life changes.
Well, there's your answer, Rita. So it's up to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanne, for letting me talk.
Thanks for calling in, Rita.
Thank you, Rita.
Can I stay listening to the end?
Of course you can, Rita.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, I think we made it perfectly clear. Stay away from pink, blue, and yellow. And I can say that.
What was that, Joanne? I missed that.
Yeah,
said to them, I said, I think we said stay away from pink, blue, and yellow.
Oh.
Oh, yes, okay. There you go.
I only heard the pink, and I was like, what did she say?
Pink, blue, and yellow, bad
yes.
colors. Good for babies' nurseries, but not
yes.
for your coffee or
yes.
tea.
That's right.
Maybe it's good in fruits and vegetables. Maybe that's
yes,
where
there we
the
go.
Colors really work.
Absolutely. Okay, so you know what? This is what I want you guys to do. When you know what yous are doing, let me know, and we will come back, and we will definitely have this chat again. And when I know when I'm coming back down to Manhattan, I will let you both know because we're going to do this.
Thanks, Joanne. That would be lovely.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joanne.
Everyone say thank you to Laura and Dr. Barry. This has been an enlightening conversation, to say the least. You've given everybody in the chat room, they're all going crazy talking about how they're going to change their diets now.
Uh-oh.
They're like, oh, my God, I feel so fat for eating so much quiche earlier. You know, they're going crazy now. So absolutely.
Well, as long as they support them each other, that's what matters. There's your community started right there.
Exactly. So you definitely gave them all something to think about. Laura, before I let you go, what's happening with you on One Life to Live?
Well, I know that I'm airing this Friday and again on March 1st, unless something's happened with the schedule that I'm not aware of.
Okay.
And we will see. We need fans to write in and say, you know, that they're loving seeing Cassie back on the show. I've seen a lot of fan responses on the different internet sites, which is just terrific because
mm-hmm.
I know the networks are reading all of that. I also think they have a couple of that they run.
Right.
I think the fans are much more aware of who to write to and who to talk to than me. So
yeah, well, we can definitely post all that stuff for everybody. So, you know, we all want to definitely see the Kramer women back on screen, and we want to see Cassie there. So
it was great.
You guys get
so
your pens and
there.
Out there and start writing, you know. That's it. It's simple
Thanks.
As that. You guys know how to do campaigns. Let's get busy with them.
There you go.
You know? I tell you, okay, Dr. Barry's information is all in the chat room. You guys check him out online. Tammy, I know, is going to be calling you tomorrow, so she's just saying that right now. And I will be in touch with him when I'm ready to come down to Manhattan, and we'll do a little spot for the show, I guess.
Beautiful. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Barry,
Thank
for joining me.
Thank you.
This is great
You're
fun.
You're welcome. Everybody have a great night. Tune in to March 1st for the actress Tana Frederick will be on. And Ronnie Marmo, March 4th. And don't forget, Tom Bosley from Happy Days is joining me, which I'm really excited about. So make sure you check out stardishradio.net for the updated schedule. And everyone, have a great night. Thanks again to Dr. Barry Goldstein and Laura Bonarigo. Sleep well, everybody, and heed their advice. The show will be available on download 30 minutes after. You can get it on blogtalkradio.com/stardish, and you can also download it from iTunes. So that's a wrap, guys. Have a great night, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
This is Lisa Lo Cicero, Olivia Falconeri from General Hospital.
And Brandon Barash, Johnny Zaccaro from General Hospital.
And hi, this is Megan Ward, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Robin Strasser on Stardish. Let's dish.